Well, it's good to see all of you on this summer day. Thought I'd dress up for you with my manly man clothesline that I'm promoting, working with Paul Madriscoll on. She likes the idea. I want to read you something that you probably heard before. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. And the best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds. For to see good out in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn how to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, but your mouth may too quickly run. Actually, it says too fast may run. Sorry, I was improvising. Didn't work. And the lecture you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you in the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. I'd like you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Jesus Christ handled this in a fantastic way. This poem, Jesus Christ was the master of that poem. He lived his sermons. He allowed himself to be seen, not just when it was convenient, but when it was inconvenient, as I think Stephanie shared or somebody. In John chapter 13, verse 34, just fantastic truth. Jesus Christ said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Certainly, love was something that had existed ever since God, because God is love. So that wasn't new. But that these believers, these in the Gospels, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another, that was a new commandment. No one loved like Jesus Christ before, and Jesus Christ was exhorting these disciples to do the same so that others might know about love. Verse 35, by this love shall all men, is in italics, it could be there if you want it to be there, but doesn't need to be. If I was a woman, I'd get mad at all this stuff. By this all know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Word sounding out, the word sounding out, so, you know, witnessing, whatever you want to call it. People witness our lives before they ever look at the Bible. Recently, last Saturday, not yesterday, but the Saturday before, we sent out 14 people out of the state of New Jersey to the state of Georgia in Atlanta, Georgia. We're calling them light bearers. It's something that I've dreamed about ever since we stopped having wows. And we've done some things along the way to see how things would go. We sent five of the believers from New Jersey to Idaho at one point. Lily, Maddie, Jimmy, Chrissy, and Frankie. Who? Lisi, of course, Lisi. How could I forget? And they just did a magnificent job. Everybody in town knew who they were. They knew what they represented, and they were an inspiration to the believers that were there who existed. Later on, a couple years later, we sent some people to Florida. Lisi, Jillian Sinardo, now Carrie's down there. And they've been a tremendous example down there. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for them, I don't think the word would have moved as quickly as it's moved down there. I know that. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago, I sent a group to Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where there were no believers. I wanted to see if what I'd been doing in fellow laborers really was worth it. that if people could really replicate what I was trying to do in my heart to raise people up to help God's word move over the world, which is a vision that I have not lost. And they have a tremendous fellowship down there of about 25 people. And they started with nothing. So, 2 years ago, I was ready to go. But I had some health issues, and I had to put it on hold for a while. And this past Saturday, we sent these 14 out after a week of training with me. Oh, Lord, that was a great week. What a fantastic week. I tried to share everything I knew about moving God's word in a week. I did. I did my very best, and it was a fantastic time in God's word. Well, there's 14 of them, and there's three homes, and all of them secured their homes by Thursday. They were there for 4 days, and they got all three homes. 4- and 5-bedroom homes, just beautiful homes. 7 of them have jobs already. I said, yeah, the world says we have an economy problem, which makes it good for us. Because God's our sufficiency, not the world. And if anybody's going to prosper at this day and time, it's got to be God's people. Because he's God Almighty, we're his sons, and he loves us. But people are not going to read the book. They're going to read your life and my life. They're going to take a look at us. They're going to look at us. And Jesus Christ said, by this love that you have one to another, they will know that you're my disciples indeed. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're talking about moving the word, witnessing the word sounding out, whatever you like. I'm all for it. God's all for it. And I feel and see spiritually a hunger for answers in the world right now that I have not seen in 20 years. There are people there who really want answers. They want help. They've had it. I can't blame them. They've had it. I'm going to discuss on ways that we can see this thing happen, one of which I discussed already. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Again, it's women also. To profit, to benefit. God's given a manifestation of the Spirit to everybody. To profit, to benefit. For one's given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. Another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he wills. Everyone as he decides in their heart. Here we have a listing of the manifestations of the Spirit. I punch faith in the nose, the manifestation, that's a bloody nose. Hey. The hand was Spirit. No, I'm just kidding. Look, we have Holy Spirit. There's 9 manifestations. We speak in tongues, which is rest to our soul. It's perfect prayer. It makes intercession for the saints. It shows that we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. It does all kinds of fantastic things. Speaks divine secrets. Magnifies God. Speaking in tongues. One of the only things any of us can do that's perfect is speak in tongues. So I say speak in tongues, y'all. Speak in tongues as much as you can. Speak in tongues every time you're not talking. Why not? Do something profitable with yourself. Speak in tongues. And then we have the privilege of fellowships like this to interpret tongues, which will bless everybody. Like we got blessed today. We got edified. We got built up. We got exhorted to a more worthy endeavor, and we got quieted down. It was nice to hear from God. It's always nice to hear from the Father. And prophecy, same kind of benefit. And then we have word of knowledge, the ability to know something that's humanly impossible for us by our 5 senses to know one thing. That's word of knowledge. word of wisdom, what to do in a given situation once you know something. Again, only God could do that. Discerning of spirits. You know, the ability to know what's going on spiritually. The presence or non-presence of spirits. And if evil, whether you can cast them out. Every one of you that are born again here has this power. And then faith. The ability to believe God in a supernatural way. Miracles, which are things that happen instantaneously. And gifts of healing, where people can be healed. These are the result of God's goodness and grace. And these are the 9 manifestations that God has given everyone in the church to benefit by and to benefit others. If those two things, the love of God towards each other and the operation of the manifestations are happening in a vivacious and dynamic way, God's word will be seen by others in your life. God's word will be seen by our lives, not by the sermons we give. Then if we give a sermon, people will listen because they've already seen it. And that's a tremendous, you want to know how to move the word? There it is. Love each other fervently. White hot love. Love. Hug each other. Kiss each other. Bless each other. Pray for each other. Witness together. Read the word together. Love each other. Give to one another. And speak in tongues. Much in your private prayer life. Look for God to show you things. Look for God to tell you things that aren't contrary to his word. That are impossible to know by your understanding to know one thing. And look for God to do powerful, magnificent things. Acts 13. I want to read one record. But it's a long one. Okay. Acts 13. Sure, I'm blessed to be in all of your presence. You're sure wonderful. I enjoy every time I get to see you. It's a blessing. It's like a dart of God's love to my heart. Verse 1 of chapter 13, we're going to go through this chapter. And this is just one record in the book of Acts. It's not the most popular one to read all the time. There's other more popular ones. The Day of Pentecost. Everybody knows about the Day of Pentecost. The lame man. Everybody, God knows, the lame man got healed. Good. We go to Acts 13. Take a look at another one that we don't normally look at. This is an incredible, arguably, the greatest written, how would I say this? I'm going to screw it up because I'm trying to be intelligent. It's the greatest thing ever. You'll see. That doesn't taste like Budweiser. You know why? Because this has flavor. Now, verse 1. And I'm not sure about this, but in this one chapter, I believe they travel over 1,000 miles. They did not have cars. They did not have airplanes. They didn't have motorboats. They didn't have mopeds. They didn't have nothing. They had camels, boats, donkeys. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. Prophets and teachers are ministries given to the church to help perfect the saints, to help do the work of the ministry, and to build up, to edify the body of Christ. These are ministries put in the body by God to help the church in their renewed mind and to bless people and build them up. So there's prophets and teachers in town. As Barnabas and Simeon was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Man, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as these ministers ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit, God, said, "Separate me Barnabas, whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, these men of God laid their hands on these guys, and they sent them away. Laying on of hands is revelation. And it's given for the identification of the people that you're laying hands on. That's why sometimes when people get prayed for, they lay hands on people. You identify yourself with somebody real quickly when you lay your hands on. If God don't tell you to lay hands on them, keep your mitts off. God tells you, you put your mitts on. See? They laid hands on them. Yeah. Well, and they sent him away. Boy, that's awful mean. No. So they, being sent forth by what? God sent them. God sent these 14 people to Atlanta, Georgia, I guarantee you. That's a godsend. Those guys are going to knock it out of the park. Because God's in it. Wasn't a random drawing. Let's see, what's big city? I don't know. Let's make a pool. How many vote for New Orleans? How about San Francisco? No. Sent forth by the Holy Spirit, they departed to Cilicia, and from thence we sailed to Cyprus. These are all places they traveled. So they went there, and then they went to eat some salami. And they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. They preached. They heralded forth God's word, the word of God, not their opinion. They preached. It says so. They preached the word of God. They didn't preach their opinion. They preached the word of God. And when they had gone through the isle of unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, Harry Potter. Oh, no. Everybody likes Harry Potter. Harry Potter this, read Harry Potter that. Go to Harry Potter movies, go buy Harry Potter dolls. Ah, to hell with Harry Potter. He's from the pit of hell. Those movies are from the pit of hell, and those books are the pit of hell. Well, now, I don't want to get in a fight. You want to read Harry Potter, go ahead. I read James Patterson, and those are all murder mysteries. I'm sure they're not all godly. But let's just get Harry Potter straight. Yeah. Is he good evil? Okay. Back to the videotape. A certain sorcerer. A sorcerer is somebody who was powerful from the wrong god, and he used astrology and enchantment specifically to get people hoodwinked. A false prophet, and something else about him, he was a false prophet, a Jew, another thing about him, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man. The deputy of the country, that indicates to me that this man, this deputy of the country, was a very powerful man. He was the deputy of the country. That's pretty big. Maybe it'd be like Secretary of State. I'll bet you half the people in here couldn't tell me who the Secretary of State of the United States of America is. How many of you know the name of the Secretary of State? Boy, it's pathetic. Look at that. What a country. Anyway. I don't know either. I think it's a girl. Isn't it a lady? So I got that part right. Missy Britches. Is that her name? Yeah. Thanks, Alex. Why did you have to say yeah? Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. It's a big job, a prudent man who called for Barnabas. He called, this deputy called for Barnabas and for Saul, which is Paul, and desired to hear what? He wanted to hear the word of God from Paul and from Barnabas. He called them in. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This devilish sorcerer was trying to keep these men from seeing Sergius Paulus, the deputy. And the word withstood means to cut off. It means to hinder. This sorcerer tried to cut these guys off, tried to hinder them, tried to prevent, or tried to restrain. He was trying to cut them off, to prevent him from, and hinder them and restrain this guy from getting born again and hearing the word of God. You ever have that happen? Those of you that have had your butts in the street and have spoken God's word faithfully through the years have sure had this happen. Where you get somebody and you talk the word of God with them and they hear it, they're excited about it, and then all of a sudden, you know, Teddy Boy comes by and he talks them out of it or tries to talk them out of it. What do? Sit on the sidelines and let it happen? Get in there. Show some guts. Stand for God's word. Fight for God's people. We need that. You don't let anybody mess with God's word. Anything else, sure, fine, great. Have at it. Not God's word, man. This guy, Sergius Paulus, he wanted to hear God's word, and he wanted to hear it from Saul, and he wanted to hear it from Barnabas. And this sorcerer guy, Elymas, was trying to hinder and prevent this man from getting born again and from hearing God's word and all that stuff. Boy, don't let it happen. And that's something also that if you are faithful at doing your best to uphold the integrity and accuracy of God's word and for fighting for God's people, fighting for the word, people will notice that about you. You want to talk about a witness, a sermon? That speaks loud, boy. Fight for God's people. You fight for God's people. Too many people right now are fighting with God's people. Let's fight for God's word. Let's fight for the word. You never have to back down from God's word thinking that you're a nice guy and maybe they'll understand it later. That's a cop out and it's a result of fear. Some of you guys back down every other minute. Get some steel in your soul. Heck, it's the word. That's what you're standing for. It's not like your opinion. My opinion stinks. Just ask me about my opinion about something. You'll know. Pretty, a lot of you know that about me too. What does Jerry think? Jerry doesn't think. So the sorcerers were standing them to turn away the deputy from the faith, it says in verse 8. Man, oh man. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, he was filled up, set his eyes on him, and he said, oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, that's telling him. When's the last time you said that to someone? When it was true. Or did you get afraid? You know, someone's coming into your fellowship that's got devil spirit problems. What do? Back away and wait for Steve? The love of God in manifestation amongst the believers, number one. Number two, the operation of the manifestations of the Spirit, one of which is discerning the spirits. Take a stand. We say we want God's word to move? Okay, do those two things. Love each other and stand on the word of God and operate the manifestations. That's what they did in the first century church. And it's fun. I'd quit if this life wasn't fun. Hell, I'd go have me some other kind of fun. But this is the most fun thing I can think of that I've ever seen in my life, is standing on the Word of God. It's like being a spiritual James Bond, for crying out loud. It is, man, being able to get info that nobody else in the whole world can get. Think of that. It's true. And then knowing what to do. Golly, you know, you hand me a tool. Like I said, if you use this tool, you're going to be able to fix it. Such and such. I look at this stupid tool and I just get disgusted and throw it away. I can't do nothing with no tool. No, I don't know why I use it. We've got these manifestations to benefit the church. Let's look. To pervert the right ways of the Lord, verse 11. Now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon me, on thee rather, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Well, that big shot who had all this kind of juice and all this kind of authority over the deputy sheriff and was preventing him from hearing God's word, all of a sudden didn't have anything, including his eyesight. I've seen this power, man. It's something. Next door neighbor when I first moved to New Jersey some 30 years ago. That's true. They couldn't stand me before I even moved there. They couldn't stand anything about the ministry. Call the cops every time there was a fellowship. Took me to court twice, three times to court for having fellowship or for having believers live with me. And, you know, those of you who know me know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to go over next door and just beat the hell out of the guy. But I knew that what it wasn't right. Okay, so Joyce told me it wasn't right. And I wanted to beat the hell out of that guy. So finally, I just prayed. And I thought of that section in Romans 12. And the guy was a landscaper. 2 weeks later, his lawn turned like somebody bleached it with Clorox or something. It turned white. And so a week later, the guy resodded his lawn. And a week later, it turned white. I kept thinking, in my sleep, did I go pour vinegar on it? Did I do something? You know? I almost couldn't believe that happened. And I'm thinking, what a great God we have. Week later, for sale sign. A week later, sold. He was out of there. Why? Distraction. God didn't want him there. I didn't want him there. Jesus, Mary, and anybody else, they did not want him there. Just in case we're wrong, we'll throw her in. Look. Had to leave. I've had three people threaten my life. Three people threatened my life. All of them died. Now, am I happy? Did I pray, Father, kill them? No. I just prayed that I wouldn't get killed. Kind of a selfish prayer. But they all died. Look, God will take care of you if you operate the manifestations of the Spirit. That's why we got them. We got word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits because of the eyes and the ears of the church. Without the eyes and the ears of the church is blind and deaf. And we don't want to be deaf and blind. We want to walk. We want to see. We want to hear so we can help. Not so we can show off. So we can help. None of us can do anything, really. Most of us have been tricked into thinking that you can. You can't do much. Grow a cubit, Jesus said. Have some fun. Grow a cubit. Have some fun. Look. Oh, full of subtlety and all mischief. Anyway, he wasn't seeing very well. Not seeing the sun for a season. Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. This mist was like shrouds of objects from your view. It's the only place it's used. Yeah, when he was telling him off in verse 10 about cease to pervert the right ways. It means to turn or twist, to distort or to turn away. That's what to pervert is, to twist, to distort, to get, that's what the adversary always wants us to do. He wants us to turn away from the truth. He wants us to turn away from one another. He wants us to turn our back on him. He wants us to turn our back on each other. Don't let him do it. And you're the one who determines that. Don't say Steve made me. Don't say Michael made me. Jerry made, nah, you decided not to walk. You decided not to stand. You decided not to fight for God's people and God's word. Don't blame me. You can't blame me on that one. I'm on that one, you can't blame me on. That one. You can get me on a lot of other ones, but not that one. Then, look at verse 12. The deputy, when he what? Saw. S-A-W. I started this sharing by saying I'd rather see a sermon. When the deputy saw, he saw something. He saw this guy who had was messed up spiritually lose his sight. When he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine. Sure, get it. Yeah, the doctrine of God is always astonishing. Astonished. Astonished means sudden shock, to be exceedingly struck. He was blown away. He saw this happen, and he was like, whoa, this is a wild doctrine. But somehow he believed. He believed concerning Jesus Christ. When Paul and his companies loosed, so they left. When they loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John departed from them and he returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia. Look at all this traveling. Man, oh man. And they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and they sat down. Well, I would too. They must be tired. They sat down. And after reading the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for people, say on. Well, boy, they didn't know what they were asking for, I'll tell you that. It was like, okay, would any of you guys like to share? And then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, men of Israel, and this is possibly the greatest recorded witness, outward witness in the book of Acts. It's incredible. Hold on to your seats. We should offer seat belts. Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, listen up. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. He's relating to the people there. They're Jewish people. They know the story of Moses. They know the Old Testament. And Paul's sharing it with them. And about the time of 40 years suffered he in manners, in he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years. You know, Judges, the book of Judges, where you have Gideon and you got all of Samson. You got all them. What's the great girl? Deborah? Deborah. Yeah, don't forget the girl. Deborah. And they had all the judges for like 450 years until Samuel, the prophet. It's given them a story of the Old Testament. And afterwards, they desired a king, and God gave unto them who? That's right, son of Sis. A man of the tribe of Benjamin by the space of 40 years. Saul was the king. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance. Now he's changed from the Old Testament to the Christ administration. You know, the promised seed, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And then it says, when John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I'm not he, I'm not Jesus. But behold, there cometh one after me whose shoes of his feet I'm not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. He is now getting to it with Jesus Christ and the people present. They'd been waiting for a Savior all these many, many, many years. And this man is now presenting in a wonderful way the word of God. And he's getting them to the place of Jesus Christ. For they, verse 27, that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now, he's getting their attention here. And though they found no cause of death in him, they'd found no reason to kill Jesus Christ, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. They said, Pilate, we got to kill this guy. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But, and that's a big J-Lo but, that's a but. I don't know what you're going to do with that in translations. But in the original, it's B-U-T-T. No. But God raised him from the what? Boy, and Dean shared that so wonderfully about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Jesus Christ being raised from the dead. Every year at the end of the year, like the end of December, the beginning of January, almost every year, we do light bears. And we hang out and get in the word for a few days, 4 or 5 days. And we go out and we speak the word. And one of the things that we do, usually the first day, is we each ask 10 people how to get born again. You'd think everybody would know. Not very many people know. And the biggest part of Romans 10:9 in my mind is that God had raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Here, talk about how Jesus Christ was killed, how he was laid in the sepulcher. But, God raised him from the what? And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. How many days did he spend with them? You remember? How many? 40. Very good. 40. Very good. This sounded out loud from over here. 40. I heard it. It's good. 40. 40 days. 40. How many days?
40.
I'll give you another. It's great. Fantastic. 40 days. 40 days in his resurrection body. And we, verse 32, declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers. Look, that the promise made. Glad tidings. Glad tidings means to bring a joyful message. It means good news. They brought a joyful message that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's a joyful message. It was a joy. You know, I wished I could have been celebrating with you guys on Ray Street that night. That must have been some night. I get teary-eyed every time I hear about it because I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue of anything. Yeah, I'm glad you partied. I came home. Diane said they drank a bunch of tequila. God bless. You deserved it. You still deserve it. It's tougher to deal with me when I'm at home than when I'm at the hospital, I tell you that. But that was glad tidings. Verse 33, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he raised up, look at that again, raised up Jesus again, as it also is written in the second Psalm, thou art my son, this day I begotten thee. By the way, Paul did not have a sermon that he was reading here. He did not have a Bible. He was sharing. You think God was working in him? You think there was word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits as he was sharing God's word? How many times when you've shared God's word, did you think of a verse that you forgot that you even knew? How many times? God brings that to your memory because you're putting him first. You're putting him first. You're putting him first. It's that way all the time. You got to take that step. Once you take that step, God's always there. Always there. Always there. You'll know what to say. You'll know what to do. Why? Because God is God. We got to raise up. Rise up, people. Thou art my... Yeah, raised up Jesus again, verse 33, as it's also written in the second psalm. He knew the word. Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, you think he mentioned that enough? Now no more to return to corruption, no more to turn to corruption. He said in this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Well, he's trying to make a point. Jesus Christ never saw corruption. It's fantastic. Never saw corruption. Yet he was killed. But God raised him from the dead. For David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep. That means he died. And was laid unto his fathers and saw what? David saw corruption. So are the dead alive now? No, they're dead. This is a verse to prove that. Every denomination that believes that the dead are still alive and as soon as they die, their spirit goes to heaven and everything's wonderful for the rest of their life. By sheer logic, if that was true, if I died and the next moment was a gathering together, baby, get me a 12 gauge. Get me a 12 gauge. I want to go now. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears, no more fears. Get logical. David saw corruption. Jesus Christ saw no corruption. The dead are still dead. They saw corruption. They're dead. Get over it. If you still believe that, God bless you. How come then my question to you is, how come it says David saw corruption? You figure it out. But he, verse 37, whom God, what? Raised up again, saw no what? Who saw corruption? David saw corruption. Who didn't see corruption? That's why Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and not David. And a few other reasons. Bathsheba, Uriah, a few things. A few incidentals. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that what a witness this is, that through this man, Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Oh, man, that must have blessed their soul. I remember in that teaching there that Steve and Bob Dunn did at that advance last year when they were sharing about the temple and all that stuff. Remember what they would do to get forgiveness? What did they do, Steve or Bob? Bob. A lot of dead animals. God bless them. They saw corruption. Anyway, he's preaching them the forgiveness of sin by this man who saw no corruption, by this man who saw no corruption, whom God raised from the dead. Look, that must have melted their souls. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things. Justified, righteous. Boy, they had to go through a lot of things in the Old Testament just to get to God. Here he is preaching God's word, and he took them all the way from Moses, all the way through Jesus Christ, through his death, and through his resurrection to get into the place where it talked about forgiveness of sins, talked about justification, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses, and they knew that. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which no man and no but ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Isn't that great? He said, you know, you could point it out, A, B, C. You ain't going to believe it no matter what anybody says. How about that? When was the last time you did that? Go have some fun. Go live your life out there. It's a blast. Really? It's a lot of fun. I wish you'd come and party with me. It's fun. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, that was the end of that sharing. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Who asked them to come back? Who? The Gentiles. Come back. Share with us again. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. The grace of God, continue in you. Okay, now here we go. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Can you imagine such a thing? Boy, there must have been talk the next day, the next 2 days, around the shops, around the workplace, around the schools, around all over the place. They were talking about these men, Paul and Barnabas, and what they had shared. Man, it was something else. I never heard anything like that before. They talked about forgiveness of sins. They talked about forgiveness of sins. They talked about righteousness. They talked about justification. We know we could never get that from the law. These guys are going to talk again next week. You got to go. We got to go. Let's go. Arm in arm. Shoulder to shoulder. Whole city. I don't know what the population was at the time. I have no clue. But I can read. It says almost. Okay. So there's a couple people staying back nursing the babies. Fine. Almost the whole city came together to hear what? The word of God. They came to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with joy. No! They are filled with envy. It means heart-burning jealousy. They were so jealous of the Gentiles. They were like, oh man. Anyway, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting, blaspheming. They were doing kind of the same thing that sorcerer did. They were trying to prevent them. They were trying to get them away from what they were about to hear, what they were about to share. They did not want them to hear God's word. It's like those people you witness to that are so excited. They want God's word. They want God's word. Their friends get to them. Say, man, no, you can't do that. You're being duped. This is no good. This is no good. Well, let's see if Saul and Barnabas back down. Yeah, well, good. Love you all. Contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold like they didn't before. It's like, really? That's new. Wow, look, they're waxing their board. No. That's surf talk. I'm from California, you know. Never surfed in my life. Anyway, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary, it was right that the word of God should be first have been spoken to you. He said, look, we're supposed to tell you Judean people first, but seeing you put it from you, you know, basically seeing that you didn't want it, seeing that you could care less about it, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Hey, we turn to the Gentiles. You could say that. Look, you don't want everlasting life. It's no sweat off my back. I'm going down the road, Jack, where somebody wants it. See you later. Peace. I know some of you done that before. Good for you. One of the things I told the 14 people that went to Atlanta, Georgia was, and you're going to just hate this. So don't sit around with people who share the word with you. Keep moving. They want to take your time. They don't, but right out of the gate, when somebody starts sharing a word with me that I don't know, I say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? That ends that talk. Let's move on. You know, I don't have time. There's people there who want God's word. There's people there who want God's help. People who want God's deliverance. And I told them not to be obnoxious or anything else, but don't waste your time. They already know. They already know, and they're happy with what they know. Who said something about that today? People happy that they're just born again. Who said that? Who are you talking about? My brother. Your brother. Yeah, and he is. He's a great guy, and he's happy that he's born again. And these people are wonderful people. But we got to move the word. We got to move the word, the living word, the living word that is living because there's great love one to another, because the manifestations of the Spirit are in operation. This word of God, boy. So he said, look, did these guys know the word of God? Yes, they did. They knew the Old Testament. They were very familiar with it. They're very quick, as you remember in the Gospels. Who did Jesus Christ get mad at? People who knew the word. Let's just get honest. Think I'm some goofball? Talk to Jesus Christ. That's who he got mad at. People who knew the word talked all about it, but didn't do a thing on it. I think he was with the adulterers and the sinners and all those people. Fun. Okay. Yeah. Well, he said, seeing you put it from me, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. They weren't going to quote him any word. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light in the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the end of the earth. Who commanded him? The Lord. The Lord commanded him. The Lord commanded him. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were what? Glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. They were glad. The word glad means they rejoiced. The word glad means they delighted in. The word glad means they were pleased with. They were happy to hear these words. The other ones didn't want it. They didn't want salvation. They didn't want to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And you know something? No matter how bad we would want somebody to know God's word, no matter how bad we would love somebody to believe in salvation, if they don't want to believe it, you could stay there for 40 years and just, they'll never believe it. Jesus Christ said in the Gospels as he sent out the 70, they don't receive you, kick the dust off, move on down the line. Nobody has a right to hear God's word 2, 3, 5, 12 times until everybody's heard it once. There's people that want to hear people. There are. The doors are open. They're wide open. Walk through them now. Yeah. These Gentiles were very, very happy recipients of God. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained or set apart to eternal life, they believed. Boy, greatest miracle. Great, you want salvation. Going from without God and without hope, being dead in trespasses and trespasses and sin. Without God. Dead. To getting born again. That's a miracle. And it happens just like that. You know, you're waiting for all these great, the greatest miracles sitting right next to you. We're the greatest miracles. We're sons of God. How did that happen? I know, you memorized verses. No, you didn't. It didn't get you to heaven. As many as were ordained to eternal life did what? Believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So this witness was not just words. This was a man who was speaking God's word by revelation. He had word of knowledge. He had word of wisdom. He knew what he was saying, why he was saying, how he was saying. God was working in him mightily to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's a walk, people. It's the most wonderful walk there is that I know. Walking with God, just like walking with God for a day is like the greatest adventure. It's like what people would like to do their whole lives, but too afraid to, or they don't think it could ever be possible. Well, let me ask you this. If God could create the heavens and the earth, could he do something for someone like us? If he could put the stars in a place, could he do something for a measly person like me? Sure he could. You know, I hear people say, well, yeah, God talks to you. Why not? He created the heavens and the earth. Why couldn't he talk to me? Man, if he could do that, why couldn't he tell me something profitable? He does. The word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. And boy, if you want to get something really excited, stir up the women. So they stirred them up and the chief men of the city, and they raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. And Paul and Barnabas got very upset and retorted, no. They shook off the dust of their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. You know what they did? They went someplace else. Boy, that's so tough. It's so easy to move God's word. Somebody might want to hear it here. Somebody else might want to hear it here. They don't want to hear it here. Somebody over here. And the disciples were filled with joy. They were filled to the top with great, great joy. And you know why? Because the word was published. The word was published. People believed and the word was published. They were filled with gladness. They were filled with happiness. They were filled with joy. Why? Because God's word was published throughout that whole region. There's a certain joy that transpires in the heart of every believer when they know that they've stood for God. My recommendation to all of us, my recommendation to myself is to love bigger. Love the family. Love the believers bigger than I ever have before. And to manifest the 9 manifestations. To speak in tongues much in my private prayer life. To interpret and prophesy as much as I can. And to receive word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. And manifest the power of faith, miracles, and healing. We have a loving God who has changed not according to Malachi 3:6. He's the same God. He does the same things. We're all living testimonies of that. We should see it like God sees it. We were once human beings who were destined to live maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years and then die. But in a moment of time, whenever that was, when we believed in Jesus Christ and took him as our Lord and Savior and believed that God raised him from the dead, we were then given eternal life. I don't know what the percentages are. I'm not an educated man. But I know 60 to 80 years compared to eternity is a very minuscule number. We are going to be together with every believer in the world forever and ever. There'll be no disputes. There'll be no arguments. It'll be all joy. And that's what we have to look forward to. And you know something? That's the greatest miracle there is, that we were born again. And too often times, we don't take the time to really think about that. He's coming back, and at that moment, we go. All the people that have gone before us who've died or that we've known and loved, they're going to be there. People that we've known and disliked, they're going to be there. And there's going to be no dispute. There's going to be no argument. There's going to be nothing but great. So while we're here, let's love each other. Help each other with God's word. Be forgiving. Be patient. Be kind. Be loving. But don't you ever back up on that word. Don't do it. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be your kid. Don't do it. Not the word. Other things back up. It's okay. It's all right. Who cares? Giants win? Who cares? I don't care. I'd like them to win, but, you know, I'm still going to heaven. I mean, what the heck? They win, they lose. We're winners all the time. I know those poor, pitiful Yankees. So, look, we are sons of God. The greatest witness we have is that we love each other. The greatest witness we've got is that we can operate the manifestations. And these are the sermons that people see. And they go, wow, this is attractive. I'd like to think that this place here in New Jersey is a place where we manifest love. I'd like to think that this place is a place that the mystery lives. And you know what? I've heard that from so many people who've come here from so many different places, countries and states. And it's a testimony to you and your lives. I just heard it again last week. We have, you know why my phone says, oh, you reached the home of Jerry and Diane and whoever else lives here at the time. You ever heard that? Because I don't really know who's living there. We just had 2 more people move in. I don't know their names, but they're really great people. And both of them separately at different times said they felt safe and they felt peace. You know, that's a wonderful thing in this crazy world. You can have all the most beautiful, ornate things in your home. Without love, they're just beautiful and ornate things. We don't have all those beautiful and ornate things, but I think we got love. And I think that people are blessed and feel welcome and loved when they enter our homes, and they probably do the same with you. And you've got something special. Let's just add to it, okay? By believing, especially everything I shared. So God, thank you for your goodness and grace that we can manifest your love and manifest your power in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Bless you.